There aren't many successful entrepreneurs who will enthusiastically break off in the middle of a multi-million pound deal to have a huge snowball fight in the car park with their finance director, but several wish they could, I suppose. But then again, Mark Mills isn't just any successful entrepreneur. Whether organising one of his infamous summer Christmas parties, and I read that correctly, flying to New York to find new business ideas, or staying up all night to celebrate a successful deal, Mark Mills has always believed in the absolute importance of having fun in business. He's put it down in a book called Making Your Mark. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from somewhere in the UK, Mark Mills himself. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles. Thank you for having me on.
The pleasure is indeed all mine. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Not in your case, Mark.
Absolutely not. I think that the way to succeed in business is actually to make it fun. And I figured out a few years ago that if you are working with people and you make it fun first, help them achieve stuff, they recognise what they do and you pay them well, then that is a winning formula. So business can be great fun and you can be successful at the same time. Nothing dearer about it.
So how did it all begin? Because some of our listeners may not know your quite extraordinary story and how you became the head of a multi-million pound business.
Well, it began in childhood because I was one of those children at school that tended to sell things rather than give them away. So I had an auntie who worked in a biscuit factory and she used to bring broken biscuits to us and I used to sell them rather than give them away, which some people might think is a bit mean, but I just couldn't see the sense in giving something away that I could charge for. And then basically that got me hooked on sort of selling, making money, giving people what they wanted, which is very important. And then from there, I sort of progressed after I left school into various businesses, not all of which went very well, Giles, I have to admit, but patience and persistence, I managed to break through and run some successful companies.
When you say I enjoyed making money, but I mean, presumably, I mean, nobody really enjoys just looking at a bunch of cash. Presumably, it was to quote somebody rather famous, it was the art of the deal, the thrill of the actual doing the business transaction itself, rather than the looking at the pile of coppers or the crisp pound notes or whatever.
You're right, and I think that what I did wrong in the early days, and I'd say to the listeners who want to sort of make money and enjoy their lives more because of what, you know, financial freedom gives you, is that actually the pursuit of money doesn't really work. And that's the point I've made about, you know, giving people what they want. So what I did in my late 20s was decided, you know what, chasing money isn't actually all that. I'll just really work hard at my business and pleasing the customers and making it a great experience for the team around me. And lo and behold, I sort of looked around a couple of years later and thought, blimey, I'm making lots of money. So actually, the one of the things I put in the book is the sort of nuances around, not what you should pursue and what you shouldn't pursue, and then what it gives you. And I think that's the thing that, you know, anybody can do it, because actually, if you apply the right formula, anybody can be really successful and make a lot of money and then hopefully do some good with it as well.
When you were 29, which seems a ridiculously young age, you had, it was Cardpoint, wasn't it?
That's right.
And it was valued at £170 million. When you sort of stood there as a young man of wealth and taste, I mean, the temptation to say, right, that's it, I've made my mark, I'm going to go and live in the Caribbean and drive fast yachts and, you know, date unsuitable women must have sprung to mind. I mean, why did you decide to keep going? And did you think you knew it all at that point?
No. You're learning every day, aren't you? So I'm a family man, and the temptation more is to take my wife and children on a really nice holiday.
Is the correct answer, Mark. Well done, yeah.
That's right, yeah. But no, I mean, I think the thing is, it's a bit like guys who play football and want to keep playing football. If you're in business and you enjoy it and you're good at it, then you kind of keep wanting to do it. So it is a bit of the art of the deal. And actually, it's a bit, sometimes unwelcome to say it, but it is about changing people's lives. So it's not just about me, it's about everybody that you work with and interact with. Can you make things better for them? And that's really the buzz. The money's a great buzz, but the real buzz is, you know, seeing people really sort of change their lives for the better.
I mean, the great saying is that you should, and loads of people in business who get carried away with their egos and won't listen to anybody else, but the one of the rules of business has always been you should always surround yourself and employ people who have the potential to be better than you are.
You couldn't be more right, Giles. I had a boardroom of 11 directors, and I promise you, they were all much cleverer than me. It was literally, I was in awe of my directors. What they liked about my role was I sort of held them all together and created the team environment. And genuinely think that, you know, if you're the cleverest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. You know, you should really, you should absolutely take people around you, or take people on around you who are, you know, considerably clever than you, and then you'll go a lot further. So, you know, it's not trickery, it's just good business practice.
Another thing is the fact that, you know, there you are, 29 years old, you've got a £170 million business. You know, it's all gone, you could say, from afar rather smoothly. But, you know, the measure, what's the old saying? Smooth seas do not a good sailor make. And the projects that don't work out, the projects that don't immediately bring you in £170 million the first week, perhaps you learn more from your failures than your successes.
Again, you're absolutely right. So what I advocate in the book, and I always do when I talk to people, is just give things a go, but also bear in mind that failure cannot live with persistence, which has been my mantra for many years. So the thing is, the bit about business is it's very sexy and exciting when you're starting out and you've got an idea and you're thinking, I'm going to change the world. But the bit in the middle when it's basically a lot of slog and there's a lot of late nights and, you know, you're doing your VAT return on a Sunday evening and you can't really afford to pay the bill and things, that's the bit that really sorts out the wheat from the chaff. So I always say to people, you know, even if you get into a business that actually isn't as successful as you'd like, just keep going and don't give up, but also adapt and change. And in the end, you'll get that success. So, yeah, I mean, the thing, you definitely learn more about when it goes wrong because you know what to avoid in the future. To some degree, when you've got an absolute belter that, you know, you can't sort of stop from being successful, it's not actually as challenging because really you're just grinding the handle and growing it. So absolutely, think about your failures as just sort of signposts along the way to your success. That's what I would say to people.
You talk about burning the midnight oil and doing the VAT returns. I've heard this referred to as, because I listen to Gary Vee on a regular basis, and he talks about the grind. You know, it's putting in the hard yards, it's putting the effort in. Do you think there's a problem at the moment with young entrepreneurs, but because we live in the environment we live in with social media and Instagramming and the whole thing, that people want instant gratification, they want immediate results, and if it doesn't work first time, they think, oh, just, you know, forget it and throw it in the bin.
Yeah, you make a good point because it is that grind. It's a great description of it by Gary Vee. It's a bit that really makes a difference in a business because when you have an idea, I always say to people, an idea is an idea, but it's not necessarily a business. It's not necessarily something that's a profitable business. So it could be a business that isn't profitable, which I would call a hobby. And I think that bit in the middle is where, and again, I talk to millennials and say to them, you know, The least sexy part of your business is, you know, dealing with lots of problems, dealing with issues. When you're on your own at your desk or in your car or on a train and you're really trying to think through a problem and come up with a solution and you're having to cajole and argue and deal with difficult things, you're right, that's when people tend to give up. But that's the bit that makes all the difference because if you plough through those bits, then the good times tend to come. So it is a generational thing. I think that people who realised early on that you don't get anywhere without lots of hard work are probably better placed. But you know what? The millennials are great at, which is they're really good at ideas. So I think, you know, one of the big secrets is get a great idea. If you can then also adapt and make sure that you have got that patience and persistence gene, as it were, then you'll be really successful and can go really far.
Again, we go back to the point that marks you out a little bit, is the fact that you like to have fun. And if you are doing the stuff that you really don't want to do, you know, checking the ledgers and all that sort of stuff, then you need to let off steam. And I said at the beginning, just tell me a little bit about this snowball fight.
It's a great story. I mean, we're basically doing an acquisition of part of a major PLC, like one of the biggest in the UK, and it basically started snowing a great deal. Now, where I live on the northwest coast of England, we don't get a lot of snow. So I was sort of chomping at the bit to get outside and have a snowball fight, but it was a bit inappropriate. However, I managed to persuade my FD that it wasn't that inappropriate. So we basically had this snowball fight. And lots of guests who were coming to the hotel where the meeting was started joining in. So we were trying to ambush a guy. And, you know, I was telling my FD to cover me. And the funny bit for me was that I looked up at one point and I could see all the guys from the other side with FTSE 100 directors looking out of the hotel at us with the somewhat look of disgust that we were all having a snowball fight. But actually, a couple of years later, one of them said to me, we'd have all liked to have joined in, but, you know, the boss wouldn't let us.
But
I think I was on the right side.
But surely that's the crux of doing what you're doing, because if you set out on your own, you're never going to be, you know, a great entrepreneur by following slavishly the example of everybody else does. And I think one of the problems that people make is they get into a rut and they think, okay, well, this company's been doing that, so that is the way to behave. And as long as it's not illegal, immoral, and fattening, surely, you know, we look at people, we look at the Bransons and we think that's amazing and we wish we could be like that. But they broke the mold. I mean, I remember when you couldn't even mention the word Virgin Radio on the air because people got upset and got to think it was a bit too cheeky. But you know, those sort of people, those are the guys who broke the mold, who didn't conform to what a FTSE 100 company should act and behave like it. And having a snowball fight in the car park is perhaps one of the, you know, the best ways of doing that.
Absolutely. I mean, you should live by the mantra, shouldn't you? If you see snow, have a snowball fight. I can't think of anything more, you know, appropriate to life, particularly if you're in front of a load of people who don't have a snowball fight. Yeah, break the mold. I mean, you've got to be yourself, haven't you? At the end of the day, I get things wrong and, you know, my personality doesn't suit everybody. But the guys and the girls who've worked with me loved that, you know, come on, let's have a snowball fight. And I think that's the other thing is, to your point exactly, is when you're going into business, be yourself, be true to yourself. It's a lot easier anyway. And actually, that's what people buy into.
Alas, Mark, sitting here in the studio overlooking literally a snowball's throw from the Mediterranean, it's very unlikely we're ever going to have a snowball fight in the car park here based on
You get good tongues, Alf.
Yeah, that's true as well. So what inspired you then? Why did you decide that, you know, the time was right to put what you've learnt by doing the hard yards in a book? Is it to inspire others? Is it to warn others? Is it just to sort of relate some of the tales along the way?
I think, you know what, if I'm really brutally honest, I know you'd want me to be, it's because I am frustrated to some degree with those millennials you talked about, but I talk to lots of people and I try and get out to them what I think works in business. And it really is a formula. Lots of businesses are formula. People always say to me, well, our business is different. It's not a formula. And I say to them, I promise you it is. There's lots of rules to follow. There are things to avoid and there are ways of doing things. So it was really a frustration. And I thought, you know what, if I could get this down on paper and people could just read it from start to finish, then it would give them a better chance of being successful. Now, all right, it's not all applicable. And, you know, there are some things in there that people say, what a load of rubbish, that doesn't apply to my business. But what I would say to them is it's more about the themes. And it's just literally read it through and think about how you can apply those aspects to your business. And the feedback I've had so far has been really positive. People have said, yeah, you know what, I've never really thought of it like that. And actually, I'm going to approach this slightly differently going forward. And I think I'll have a different outcome. And that was it, really. So I just thought, you know, it's not about having a bestseller particularly. It's just if somebody emails me and says, you know what, Mark, it actually helped me in my business and I changed things, made people's lives better, made a few pounds along the way, then great, that was the object of the exercise.
Awards. You've won a few, to put it mildly. You've done a few Gritsy Galas. You've been recognised by your peers. It's not about the awards, but then again, it must be extremely gratifying when you do pick up an Entrepreneur of the Year award.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, look, the thing that people work for, as I mentioned right at the beginning, is fun, achievement, recognition and money. So if you make it fun, you achieve stuff, but importantly, you recognise people. So we all want to be recognised, but if you recognise people around you and then other people recognise you, that's a great buzz. And lastly, you've got to earn, you know, a living out of it. So, yeah, but I think that, you know, awards are great. And I advocate people going in for awards because it does do a lot of good with customers, suppliers, etc. So it also gives you goals, which I'm a big advocate of, you know, working to timelines and targets. And if you put all those things into the bag, then you get that feel-good factor around your business. And people who work with you love it when you win them. So it's not just about you. It's always a team thing, isn't it?
So, I mean, imagine the situation here, Mark. I'm a young entrepreneur. I'm a millennial. I'm 20 years old. And, you know, I was born in 2000. I think, right, I'm just come out of university next year. I want to start on my own. I'm passionate about social media and I want to build an app that transforms the world. What bit of advice would you give?
Really simple, but very effective, is write it down and work out what it looks like in terms of the financial side. So what's it going to cost you? What are you going to sell it for? Be it an app or whatever. And be really ruthlessly honest about the size of your market, who's possibly going to buy it, use it, do something with it. And if you put that all down and you say, you know what, I've got something here that is going to be successful to whatever degree you want. If you want to earn £50,000 a year and you can make that work, great. If you want to make £5 million, and it works out fantastic. So I think what people do is that you've got to transform that fantastic idea you've got that's been bubbling away inside you into an actual business plan. And it doesn't have to be War and Peace, but you need to get something down that you can keep referring back to. And if you do that, it becomes more powerful when you orate it to other people, because you can say, look, I've got a plan. I know what it's going to look like. I know what I need to do. I know what the moving parts are. And that, I think, is the bit that lots of people miss between sort of an idea and wanting to be in business. Get it down on paper, make it real, make some good assumptions on it, be tough on yourself with it, and you're far more likely to succeed, Giles. I promise people, you're far more likely to succeed if you do that.
And I know we're talking about millennials and the fact that you've made $170 million or whatever when you were 29, but this isn't an ageist thing. I mean, you can start a business when you're 50, when you're 60, when you're 70. The same principles apply.
Absolutely. And you know what? There is an advantage to being a millennial because you're very open-minded, you're very tech-savvy. There's certainly an advantage to being an octogenarian and all that wisdom and having seen life and understood people for, you know, many decades. So I say to people all the time, there's never a better time to start business, you know, particularly in Europe, despite the Brexit woes and all the rest of it. But, you know, we have got a great society. We're consumers. People want to change the world. They want to do something with their life. So this is a great time to start a business. If you've got a great idea, get it down on paper and get into business. You'll never look back.
The book is called Making Your Mark, How I Built a Fortune from £1.50, and you can too. It's by the brilliant Mark Mills. It's out on the 23rd of September with Harriman House. Mark, if people want to find out more about you or about what you're up to, where can they find you?
Really simple. I've got a website which is www.mark.co.uk, and I would also say that if anyone wants to contact me for a chat or meet for a coffee, I can't see everybody, but I try to. I'll happily chat to people about their business ideas and give them some pointers.
And only begs the question, Mark, what's you up to next? What does an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur, a multi-millionaire entrepreneur like yourself get up to during the day? And what are your plans for the next couple of days?
Oh, you know what I'm doing? I'm actually sitting in front of my desk with an absolute pile of paperwork right in the middle of that grind bit. So I'm developing a couple of different businesses at the moment. So it is literally just meetings and work. So the other thing about, you know, life, it's never as glamorous as it looks, is it?
Well, then I'm looking over my car park, heading down towards the Mediterranean, Mark, and, you know, it's not too bad from where I'm sitting. So you should come and join us at some point.
I'd love to.
The book is called Making Your Mark, How I Built a Fortune from £1.50, and you can too. I suppose you can start it from €1.50 as well. It's by Mark Mills. It's out on 23rd by Harriman House. Mark Mills, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today.
You too, Giles. Thank you ever so much.